20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is actual, real football. It is week one. The 2022 NFL season is here. I am one of your hosts of the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Jason Perrone. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Perrone. And I'm also over at Game On Wisconsin doing the Quick Slants Podcast every Monday. Along with me and back after a one-week hiatus is Mark Eckel. And Mark, your Twitter handle is at MarkEckel08. And Mark, welcome back. How was your time on the West Coast, the other coast?
Oh, nice. Very nice. I was spent some time with my daughter, who I hadn't seen in a while. We were talking about this. Probably the longest I'd ever gone. We had ever gone without. We talk all the time. But she moved out to Oceanside, California, just north of San Diego. I just hadn't gotten out there. And she was busy. She's busy. You know, she's actually, you know, has a really good job now and stuff. So it was nice. I got to spend 4 or 5 days with her. And it was a good time.
Gotcha. Well, welcome back.
Like you said, I went from one coast to the other.
And now you're back home and glad to be back in Myrtle Beach. And we'll get to that in a minute. So we had to kind of throw up the signal to everybody. We had to record a little bit earlier than usual, but we still did get some weather this week from all of our usual. So we'll start with Robin Erickson in Oslo, Norway. Also want to send some good vibes and good thoughts to Robin. He's got an ill family member that he is tending to right now. So hopefully everything turns out okay. But he said that the weather app says it's 66 degrees Fahrenheit. So you're noticing those temperatures dropping a little bit in Europe, getting a little less heaty. And then our friend Felix over in the vineyard sent some pictures of his grape crop, I guess it would be, and temperatures between 61 and 81 in Offenburg, Southwest Germany. So a little variation there, although Norway's further north, so I can understand it being a little bit cooler. So that was it for Europe. That was our European contingent. We're already to you at the beach over Myrtle Beach. I'm sure they missed you last week while you were gone, but how's things looking?
It's been it warmed up again. It's been mid-80s. I think it might have hit like 88, 80, 89 today, actually. So, yeah, we're getting, what do they call that, post-Labor Day summer? I don't know, whatever it is.
Late summer?
No, it's warm. They're calling for rain later. Here today, today being Thursday. I know we're not taping on Thursday, but people are listening on Thursday. So we are supposed to get a little bit of rain Thursday.
Okay.
But other than that, it's been nice and warm.
A little bit of precip. Okay. Well, in Green Bay, it is 84 degrees and sunny.
Wow. Okay.
Warmed up a little bit from earlier in the week, and it's in the mid-80s, and then there's some rain coming through over the weekend that'll drop it down. Actually, high of only 69 on game day, even though they're not playing in Green Bay. But on game day, a little bit of rain. And so hovering right around the low 70s there. So that's the weather forecast there. And that'll be important in another week because they're going to be getting ready to host the Bears for the opener in Green Bay. Sunday Night Football, week two. So that'll be good.
Yes,
then no surprise, I think I've told everybody, we don't cool off here in the Phoenix area until like mid-late October. So it's still warm. So cloudy, 102 degrees. Don't know if it's going to rain. It hasn't rained in a while. We had a bunch of rain that came through for a long time last month, but it's been mostly dry. So we're still hovering in the low 100s. And sometimes the cloud cover actually traps the heat in there and creates a little bit of like a blanket factor at times. It's kind of weird. Kind of a weird thing there. And then our friend Harry over to Kamloops to round it out. Been in the low 80s, but Thursday cooling off to 72, but sunny. The whole week. Right, so
okay, that's nice.
Not too bad. A little bit of rain somewhere, you know, everywhere, but everybody seems to be doing well, and that's our weather. So on the Thursday edition, because this is our first time doing this during the season, last season you were with a different group, so we're going to be doing the Packers defense against the opposing offense. That's what we're gonna focus on. So earlier this week, the unofficial depth chart came out for the Packers. Not a whole lot of surprises on defense. No. Most of the conversation centered around the offense and the offensive line, and who was and who was not listed on that, or where they were listed on that depth chart. But as far as this matchup here goes, Mark, I mean, I don't get too big into the X's and O's. I do know that the Vikings always play with their hair on fire against the Packers when it's in Minnesota. It doesn't matter how good each team is. They're always competitive games. The crowd is crazy. Weird things happen. You know, it's the first game of the season, so you see a bunch of anomalies happen in week one. So it's whatever we're going to talk about right now is just, it's almost more fun conversing because we haven't even seen three quarters of these players on the field yet.
No, we haven't. The Packers didn't play anybody.
No one.
Which I didn't like that. I still don't like it, but it is what it is now. I don't personally, and it's not just the Packers. A lot of teams treat preseason as basically to see who's going to take up the final five or so roster spots. But I don't like, tell me if I'm wrong, but or tell me if you don't agree. I don't like opening with a division opponent.
Oh, I am the opposite.
Oh, you like that?
I like getting the divisional road. I should say, I don't mind if it's not the opener, but I like getting the road games out of the way early.
Oh, no, I don't care about road. I just don't want to, I don't think the pack, I mean, because the first week is so goofy, like you said, and, you know, things happen the first week that you look back 10 weeks later and you're like, how the hell did that team beat that team? Like that team, like the team that won opening day is now 3-7, and the team that lost to that team is now 8-2.
Yeah, like, see the Packers versus the Saints last year.
Yeah, right. Or a lot of times, you know. But so I you know, I don't. I just don't like opening. I'd rather they would have opened against the Jets or whoever. You know, like the Eagles open with the Lions, and it's fine. You know,
right?
It's even a conference game, but it's not a division game. But it is what you know. Again.
Well, on the one hand, the competitiveness of it and the matchup. And like I said, the Vikings always have some extra juice for the Packers when they play in Minnesota. It doesn't matter which direction each team is going. It's always been that way. And when they were both good, some Vikings fans will say, well, they are both good this year. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Packers fans, I guess we don't know either. But when they were both good, it was really fun to watch. So,
let's be honest. We both feel the Packers are going to win the North.
Right.
And I think we both feel that's not enough. I mean, that's not what the Packers are about, winning the North. The Packers are about trying to get back and win a Super Bowl. Winning the North is step one. But I think the only challenge they have is the Vikings. I mean, the Bears are dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions are better. They're going to win more than what they went two games last year, whatever it was.
Yeah, they'll be better.
They're going to be better, but they're not. They're not a factor. They're still not a... They're not relevant. I mean, I think they'll be a little more competitive than they were last year and put a few more wins in the win column, but they're not going to win the North. So right. it's really a two-team race.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings, as we get into the offense, I mean, there's some talent here. I mean, Justin Jefferson's a stud. There's no doubt about that. He's one of the top. Oh, he's probably the best wide receiver in the North now, right?
Yep.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Not even close.
Yep, that we know of. I mean, and I don't want to go overboard.
He is
the best receiver. I mean, the Bears don't have anybody that's in the conversation. The Packers have two young guys that we don't know much about yet. The closest one that I can think of that we could even talk about is also very young, and we don't know what he's going to be in year two, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Right.
And and we don't know much. We don't know enough about him. So, yeah, Justin Jefferson is like, he's that dude in the NFC North for sure. That's going to be.
And Thielen might be the second best.
Probably Thielen's still good. Yeah, Thielen's still good. KJ Osborne's their third there. And then Irv Smith Jr. is the tight end. And he's listed as questionable, but everything that they've talked about so far has been that they expect him to play. So it looks like the Vikings should have everybody we expect them to have. Dalvin Cook, obviously a running back. He's had some really good games against the Packers. Kirk Cousins, he's never lit the Packers up, but he's good enough that if he isn't bad, they've got a chance. And he's... I don't know. I guess he's never had these great games against Green Bay. I mean, even the game in Minnesota last year that the Vikings, they probably should have won. The Packers still could have stolen it if Darnell Savage just holds on to the ball one out of two times. So, or if they don't commit a penalty or the refs don't call a dumb penalty and negate one of those picks, then maybe things are a little bit different. But I guess if we want to start up front with the offensive line.
To me, I was going to say, we talked about Thielen and Jefferson and Osborne being a strength of the Vikings, right? That they're three wide receivers. But I think they're playing right into the Packers' strength with Alexander, Stokes, and Douglas.
Yes.
And that's going to be – and they're going to be fun matchups.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Jefferson's going to give them fits. He's going to catch the ball. I mean, you got to hope that Amos and Savage are ready at safety to help out, and now you've got some more speed in the middle there. Devondre Campbell's still in the middle, so it's not this barren wasteland that it was before. I don't know how much of Quay Walker we'll see. I don't know how much base we're going to see this week. I'll be interested to see what they roll out there in terms of their, if we see more nickel, if we see some dime from the Packers. I mean, that's where things start to get a little bit shaky, is at that corner and safety depth, because it really drops off. Whereas last year,
I don't think it's going to be that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't either, but last year, but I mean, they've upgraded it, because now if you've got Rasul Douglas in the spot that Shannon Sullivan, speaking of Shannon right. Sullivan, he will be on the other side of the field when the Packers offense is on the field. That's a nice upgrade at corner there. The secondary is in much better shape.
Yeah. And I think, and I've been saying this since the offseason, that you're not going to see a lot of three safety looks anymore. You're going to see, against the Vikings, especially if they come out with the three wide, which they probably will, you'll see the three corners we just mentioned with the two safety. And they could take Walker off the field and go 3-3-5. You might see a lot of 2-4-5s. You may see the two down linemen again, with Clark and Reed, or Clark and Lowry. The danger there is Dalvin Cook. You don't want to be too light up front, because then he could kill you. But on pass, you know, I think you'll see, because of Walker and Campbell, who are two pretty good cover linebackers. I mean, either one of them can cover the tight end if need be.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Packers aren't going to have to sub as deep as they had before. I don't think they'll play a lot of dime. I think Savage at times could line up if a team went
right.
four wide receivers. I think you could put Savage on as a slot guy,
mm-hmm.
and just leave Amos deep. I mean the goal is always to have your best players on the field. And the guys we're talking about, Lowry, Clark, and Reed up front, and Walker, and Campbell, and Smith, and Gary, and then Douglas, Stokes, Alexander, they're the best players. So I don't think you're going to reach down and pull up it used to be Henry Black, now I guess it would be, I don't know, would it be Levitt or Ford, mm-hmm. two newcomers. I think they're here for special teams, and only if a guy were to get hurt, they would go in. I think if they did go to a sixth defensive back, I'm thinking it could be John Charles.
Shamar Jean Charles. Yeah. He had an okay preseason, but you know,
he had a very good preseason, actually. I mean, he's one of the guys I thought that really took that first to second year jump that you always hear about. I mean, he was overmatched last year. He was not ready.
He was not at all.
Coming from App State, a good, solid small school program.
He must have been very disappointed this past weekend.
Tough game for that.
Yeah, very tough. Mountaineers. Very tough ending. But and that's the other thing too, Mark, and not to harp on it, but it is kind of a fun thing to talk about. Smaller school, right? So it takes him a while to adjust to the NFL.
Sure.
It ain't Georgia.
Right. And even, I mean, hey, listen, even Alabama and Georgia guys sometimes take time. You know?
Well, look at DeVonte Wyatt. I mean, it's a perfect example right there. Like, I don't think we're going to see much of him on defense until a few weeks in. Like, they're going to have to see him, like, perform at practice. I mean, now it's for real. And you've got, I mean, why bother? And they don't have to force him either. I mean, you've got very capable players up front in Clark, Reed, Lowry, and even Slayton. I think TJ Slayton is going to give them a couple of good snaps. I mean, they've got a good rotation up front, but as we're sitting here talking and you're you know, making your points here, I'm realizing once again how important it's going to be. You said you want your best players on the field. Well, they're going to need to stay healthy,
yeah.
because the depth starts to get, and it gets shaky. And I mean, there's a reason that they're not starters, but that pass rush, for example, you know, behind Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith, it's Jonathan Garvin and JJ Enagbare and Tipa Nalaya. Like, they're, You literally don't, you lose any push that you have up front when.
Yeah, I'm still surprised. And it's, you know, we got it's only week one. There'll be moves could still be made down the road. But I'm still, and I wouldn't be shocked if between now and whenever the Packers don't add a veteran. I've been saying it forever. Maybe I'm going to be wrong, but I still think they may add another veteran edge pass rusher. I just think they have to.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
unless,
they do.
Unless they think, you know, the rookie's ready to contribute. I mean, he had a nice preseason. Preseason's a little different than the regular season. And if they think Garvin, this is his third year, it's time for him to show something now. I mean, he is young, still very young. He was very young when he came out of Miami. But if there's a Whitney Merciless type guy, and that's who they brought in last year, and he played pretty well till he got hurt. If there's a guy like that floating around, or a guy like that they can get via trade, I think they have to do it, and I think they will do it.
Yeah, and it's in a season where as I've said it many times before, when you have this all of in front of you is what the Packers do, you have to be open to making that move, because you don't want that to be the one thing that keeps you from being successful and winning right. games. And I said, we did a mega show at Game On Wisconsin that aired that we did on Sunday or Monday, sorry, on Labor Day. That was a lot of fun. And we talked about our season predictions. And I don't know if we want to save it for the end of the show or not, or I can tell you where I thought the Packers would fit. Just spoiler alert, they're not going to win 13 games this year. But I do think that could also lend itself to them being a little bit more sharp, chiseled, ready, focused for the postseason, which I'm assuming that they're going at, because I do think they're winning the North. You said that earlier on the show. I agree. The Packers will win the North. I don't think they'll win 13 games, but I still think they'll win the division. But you've got to make moves like that and make sure that you don't put yourself in a tough spot. And then I know that we're not the special teams, but we're talking about defense, and special teams is almost like an extension of the defense, in my opinion, in terms of, and I guess maybe not in the return game, but that's another area that I'm concerned about, is how good are these coverage units going to be? You know, are they going to get it together? Because these starters, not only did they not play on offense or defense, they didn't get in there and play on special teams in the preseason. So how ready to stay in their lane and execute Rich Bisaccia's defense plan are they going to be? That's a big part of it too, where the defense could be good and we expect them to be good. But if they give up short fields and they're allowing Minnesota to start on the other side of the field, and Dalvin Cook gets going for some reason, they can't stop the run. You make it really easy if you don't make Kirk Cousins have to beat you, and that means making him throw the football. Then that's going to be a tough ask for the defense.
One thing about, you know, the Vikings, getting back to Packers defense versus the Vikings offense, we talked about them, which I think is going to be very entertaining. I think, is Alexander going to shadow Jefferson?
That's another really good question. I mean, if you say you want your best players on the field, I would say you have to. For Justin Jefferson, I think you break the game plan and you do that.
See, I like that. I know I do this all the time, and Packer fans probably say, stop talking about the Eagles. We don't care about the Eagles. But I learned, I mean, I covered them for 30 years, and I got to know their, you know, a lot of things I learned about football came from Buddy Ryan and Jim Johnson and Jeff Fisher and all the defensive Emmett Tom, all the defensive coordinators that I worked with. They matched up. They you know, when the Eagles had Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor and Al Harris as their corners, three very good corners, they would match up. Troy would play the fast guy. Bobby would play the bigger guy, you know, and Al would be in the, you know, the third guy. So, you know, when they went 3-deep or 3-wide. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer in that. Why not? Why don't let your, like, I don't want Roswell Douglas. You know, I love him, right? You know, I've been
not matching up one on one against Jefferson, though.
Picked him off the practice squad of Arizona,
right?
But he's not the fastest guy in the league,
right?
I mean, that's been his problem. Is, you know, he's not as fast as Stokes and Alexander. So you don't want him on a speedy guy. You want him on the big strong guy, right?
If I'm not mistaken, last year, and I'm picking on that one deep touchdown in Minnesota that Jefferson caught, I think that was on Kevin King. And Roswell Douglas is at his best playing what's in front of him, not tracking not taking receivers right. deep. And that could be end up being in the same situation. So no, I just want
Alexander on Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it
wherever Jefferson is, Alexander lines up. And if you want to give him safety help, that's up to you. But I want Alexander on Jefferson. Put, you know, I don't care about. I mean, Thielen's good too, but either one, Douglas or Stokes, can handle Thielen, I think, and take it from there.
Right.
And then I think the big advantage the Packers have in this game, and we talked about they don't have great depth at the pass rush, but the two starters are pretty darn good, Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. And I like both of them going against the Vikings' tackles. Now, the Vikings, it's interesting. Their offensive line is not from a lack of resources. They're starting five offensive linemen. Three second-round picks and two first-round picks. Mm-hmm. So they've tried to fix their offensive line. They've spent, you know, five very high draft picks on their guys. They're just not that good. I mean, Christian Darrisaw at left tackle, first-round pick in 21, did not have a great rookie year. Now, we don't think he could get better, obviously, but I think, you know, I like Rashawn Gary going against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Cleveland do okay? I thought he did okay last year.
Ezra Cleveland?
Yep.
He's okay. He's okay. He's their left guard.
And if you ask Vikings fans, like Garrett Bradbury, he's not, I don't see.
He still has the name because he was a center that went in the first round, which you don't see very often, and he did, and he's been okay. Like they're all okay.
Okay, but you know
they have a rookie at right guard.
Well, that's
Ed Ingram.
That could be good for Kenny Clark then.
Yes, I expect big game. My player of the game this week is, and I, you know, we've said it before. I mean, I talk about Kenny Clark all the time. He's my favorite player on the team. I think Kenny Clark will be the defensive star of the game this week.
If he's the defensive star of the game, is there any way the Packers don't win this game then? Because if he is, that means things are going to go extremely well.
Well, no, I think the Packers win the game, but the only way it wouldn't would be if they lost 13-10 or something. You know, if the offense just can't get out of its own way because they didn't play at all.
Mm-hmm. I just think, and I mean, obviously, you know, but I think if you tell me, it's one of those things where if you tell me right now that Kenny Clark is going to be the best player for the Packers on defense, that means to me that Dalvin Cook probably didn't torch this defense for hundreds of yards. I mean, he's had some really, really big games against the Packers.
Well, he's a good player.
And if that's the case, I mean, I think he's at this point right now, I don't know if we still think Derrick Henry is the best running back in the league. Dalvin Cook might be it. So, well, you know,
some people in Wisconsin might argue with you.
He's gotten a lot of hype, and he was top 10 in the top 100. If you're for whatever that's worth to you, it's not worth anything to me because the players vote for it and they vote for their friends. But yeah, for a second there, I thought you were talking about the Packers, and then I realized Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, no, he's fantastic. I mean, he's essentially at this point right now what all of the love that Zeke Elliott got when he first came out. I think Jonathan Taylor is getting that now, and he's very good. He's a very good runner, but. Cook is gonna give the Packers a challenge. I mean, his big thing now, what I'm interested to see is Cook used to get to the edge, and it was just that deficiency in speed the Packers had while they for those couple first years that he was in the league. Whereas now, I think sideline to sideline, the Packers are a lot faster, and so I expect them to be better at cutting off that edge and taking away that turn the corner.
Well, yeah, and again, it goes. That's where I think the Packers front, whether it's Clark, Lowry, and Reed, with Slayton coming in sometimes, and then, you know, the inside linebackers, Campbell and Quay Walker, are going to have a big play in this game. I mean, that's who's going to stop Cook. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, you know, Cook's a great back. Barry Sanders was a great back, and when he played the Packers in the playoff game, Reggie White's Packers went, he had minus yards. I'm not saying the Vikings they're going to hold Cook to minus yards, but
yeah,
I don't care how good a running back is if the defensive line is dominating the offensive line. You know, you end up with Barry Sanders going for minus yards, right?
Yeah, so, that was a great performance. That was a playoff game.
Yes, it was.
Which is what that was an awesome performance. And if I remember correctly, that was like. Back in 94, like Terrell Buckley was on the team, and that was before the Packers turned the corner. I think that was a year before.
It was early homeroom, and they just started to get good.
Yeah, I think that was the 94 season, and then the next year was 95 when Freeman came in, and that was when you're like, okay, this team's right on the doorstep.
And yeah, they won that game in 90. They won 16-12.
Yeah.
And that was Reggie, and Steve McMichael was on that team.
Jeez,
Sean Jones and Reggie were the ends, and they had Steve McMichael and John Jerkovic.
Yeah,
and then the linebacker Bryce Paup was still there. George Koontz was in the middle.
Yeah,
and Buckley was one of the corners. You're right, Doug Evans, and of course Hall of Famer Leroy Butler,
I believe had
a big play in that game.
Yeah,
that's the year. That was the second year they made the playoffs for the first time in '93 and beat the Lions on a Favre touchdown pass late. And then
we all know that one.
Lions again the following year
to Sterling,
and beat him again.
Yeah.
That game was in Green Bay. The first year they beat him in Detroit, I believe.
Yep.
Yes. The 94 game was in Green Bay.
A lot of fun times.
So just going back a little history lesson for you there.
Yeah. Geez, that was also the last time Lions were regularly making the playoffs either.
Yeah. I actually covered the last Lion playoff win in 1990. They beat the Cowboys in '90.
Oh, that is. It's been that's how long it's been. A really long time. Yeah.
And I actually covered the game. They beat Eric Kramer had a big game. That was Dallas's first year making the playoffs with their great team, Troy and Emmett and all those guys.
Yeah.
That was their first year in the playoffs.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Vikings.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vikings, for that one. Well, and they have, I think it's going to be more of a factor on special teams, but Vikings just picked up Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
and he'll do some probably more kick return, punt return for them. I think he's listed as the punt returner.
I mean, that's a guy that I'm going to say I was wrong. I mean, Eagles took him, so they made the big mistake. But I thought he was going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I not great. I'm not. He was in that class with Justin Jefferson, and that's the big thing. The Eagles took him over Jefferson, and there's video of Mike Zimmer and the Vikings front office laughing when the commissioner says the Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Reagor, TCU. The Vikings are laughing because they had the next pick, and they're laughing that they got Jefferson.
Right.
Well, now they got both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Reagor was.
And there was talk. I'm glad you brought Reagor up. There was, you know, there was talk that the Packers and Eagles talked about Reagor.
Right.
Well, what the heck did the Vikings got him for nothing? So what were the Packers offering? Less than nothing?
Did they want him is the question. Maybe they didn't.
That's what I'm saying. If they wanted him, they would have gotten him. Right. I mean, it didn't cost them. The Vikings gave up next year, like a conditional, whatever. I mean, it's not like the Vikings gave up a lot. And they went, well, we weren't going to give him that much. I wonder what, I don't know. I mean, no, he's an outside guy. That's why the Eagles took him. They didn't want a slot guy. They wanted an outside guy. So they took Reagor. He hasn't been anything.
They must really be confident and like Lazard and Sammy Watkins then.
No, I mean, I don't understand the only thing I could think of, because the report was that the Packers and Eagles talked on draft during the draft about the Packers acquiring Reagor. And the only thing I could think of is if they didn't get, say, Watson had gone bottom of the first and they didn't get him, or if Dobbs wasn't there. And if, you know, but maybe once they got Watson and Dobbs, they said, "Nah, we're okay. We don't need Reagor."
Right.
That's my only guess. That they talked prior to the draft, you know, prior to the start of the draft, and the Packers said, "Hey, listen, if things don't break our way, and give us a call, and we'll give you a third day pick for him."
Well, they're both. I mean, if Watson and Dobbs both turn out to be what we hope they can be, then they're fine. I mean, I don't think they would have necessarily needed to make that move, but the Eagles weren't asking for much, so I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. When they said other teams, including the Packers, talked to the Eagles, I'm like, well, what could they have offered? Because the Vikings got them for, like I said, for next to nothing. How much less could the Packers have offered them?
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless the Packers didn't want to give up any picks. Maybe they were trying to trade them Cole Van Lannen for him or something. I don't know.
Right. Well, they already did that flippage,
and but
got
I'm saying,
they got a draft pick. Yeah, they, you know, got a draft pick.
And a player for a player, maybe.
Ty Summers didn't even make the Jaguars' final roster.
No, they claimed him 1 week and cut him next week.
Cut him the next week. Didn't make it.
Kind of a shame. He's a good guy. He's just not a, you know.
Packers are turning a corner this year. I mean, and Rich Bisaccia probably got in there and said, "Hey, we can't keep running with some of these guys. Like, they're not going to get it done on this kind of special teams that I want to play," because they moved on from quite a few of those fringe roster players and replaced them with different guys. They brought in Rudy Ford. Like, they're really, I hope that turns out to be helpful for the special teams. And it's going to be important in this first one. Anytime you're playing against a divisional team inside on turf, I mean, most of the surfaces are turf anymore, and the players are all fast now, but this is going to be a big test right out of the gate for special teams and their ability.
Oh, yeah. Every week's going to be a test for special teams. I'll say this because I texted you this a week ago when I was away, but I love the pickup of Rudy Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
I think he's one of the best special teams players in the league. I really do. I mean, if you had to list the top 10 special teams players in the league, he's on that list. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, he's really, really good. That's when I saw the Jacksonville cut him, I was like, oh God, I hope the Packers pick him up. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, remember when we, I don't know, one of the weeks that we talked about special teams, I had said to you that you need that guy. The Eagles had Ike Reese and he became that guy. And then special teams got better. Just like I said, you know, on offense, you need a guy, you need Aaron Rodgers, right? And on defense, you need, whether it's Kenny Clark or Rashawn Gary or whoever that you need. Well, special teams does too. If you're going to be a good special teams, or, you know, an average special teams even, you need, somebody's got to be that guy, a star. And they have one now, I think, in Ford.
Well, his tape looks great. He looks really, I mean, he's very, very sound. He's fast. Like, he's, you know, he's if he can do what he has done and we've seen it before, then just, you know, it would just be nice if the other guys had to go 70.
Well, here's what I told a friend of mine this last, whenever it was we were talking about, I said, I would sign up for this. Every opposing kickoff, when the other team kicks off to the Packers, let it go in the end zone. And I'll start at the 25 every time. Let every punt go in the end zone, and I'll start at the 20. And I want the same thing. I want every one of my kickoffs to go in the end zone, and every one of my punts to go in the end zone. I'll sign up for that right now. Would you?
Of course, because it takes away any of the risk.
Right, exactly.
That's my thing.
I'll be happy with a push.
Yeah, it takes away the risk. I mean, unless all of a sudden Pat O'Donnell is like this coffin corner expert, which he's not.
Well, that would be nice. I mean, and don't get me wrong, but I can't have everything. So
haven't seen enough of him to know if he's that good or that accurate. And then the other question is how does he do when the weather turns? We don't know.
Oh, he's kicked in Chicago.
Yeah, he has. He has. By the way, the weather won't matter. Did you see the news, Mark? The weather won't matter as much in Chicago when they build this dome stadium that they're going to build in the suburbs.
Yeah, how about that?
So the Packers are going to be the only open-air stadium in the entire division. The Vikings, Lions, and Bears will all have a dome or a retractable cover.
And they'll keep winning the division.
That's right. That's right.
Because when those dome teams come outside, though, they won't know. They don't know what to do.
That's right. Except for a couple that came through here and ruined a couple things. But
not domes.
Yeah, I mean,
they weren't dome teams.
The Atlanta Falcons in 2000. Oh, that was 20 years ago. But still.
Yeah, I thought you meant recently.
No. Yeah. No. No, definitely not recently. I mean, what else? I mean, I think this will gain some juice as soon as we have some offensive performance or defensive performance to talk about as far as what the players are doing and who's getting hot and who's doing well and who's not doing well. This week one is just kind of, this is the lineup versus that lineup, and then we'll see what happens. I mean, I guess it depends on if Minnesota's able to run their game plan. Now, the other thing, too, is new head coach, right? New offense.
Yeah.
So we didn't really talk about that. I don't know if you have any opinions or any thoughts on that. New head coach is starting out. You know, I don't know what their records are. Matt LaFleur won his first game, but it was a really low scoring game, and the offense wasn't anything super special that night. So I don't know if there's any impact
it
there.
Generally, my opinion is it generally takes time, especially if you're a totally new coach. If you're, you know, which the Vikings have. I mean, coming in with a whole new system, a new defensive core. You know, it's a whole new defense, a whole new team, new schemes. So, yeah, I mean, more, again, I'm sure there's been teams with new coaches that have jumped out quickly. But for the most part, it usually takes a little bit of time for the players to get acclimated to the new looks they have now. Now, again, like Tampa Bay, they have a new coach, but it's not the same. He was their defense coordinator. Brady's basically the offensive coordinator, so it doesn't matter there. And actually, he did keep they kept Leftwich as the offensive coordinator. So, like Tampa with a new head coach isn't quite the same as the Vikings with a new head coach, or you know, Denver. You know, Nathaniel Hackett going there, putting in a whole new system for the Broncos. I mean, it takes a little bit of time. And the Packers, you know, I think three of the first four games are against rookie head coaches. If I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, you got
Vikings, Bears, and first three and four to first five. That's what it is. They played the Vikings with their new coach, Bears, Tampa. Like I said, not it's new, but it's not. It's
Bowles
not
has been a head coach before.
What's that?
Bowles has been a head coach before, right?
Yeah, he was with the Jets for a little bit. Then they got New England. That guy's been there a couple years.
Yeah, just a few.
Yeah. But then they get the Giants in London with Dable, who's brand new.
And the Giants are
who've never been head coaches. Three of their first five games are against brand new head coaches, and then the other one, and then the fourth is against Todd Bowles, who he was a head coach before, but this is his first year as head coach of Tampa.
Yep. Now don't forget, Kevin O'Connell was in the league as a player as recently as 2012. He was with the Chargers. He didn't start, obviously. It was behind Phillip Rivers.
Right.
But he's, you know, he was with the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl champion Rams. So he comes in with a little bit of confidence and good things going on. I mean, the Vikings roster is not the Rams roster. They certainly don't have Cooper Kupp. and any iteration of Odell Beckham Jr. on that roster. But I still think it's going to be a pretty good matchup. So I think we already talked about how we think the game is going to fare. So I guess we should go there. I mean, how do you see this one shaking out? And since it's the beginning of the season, what is your overall outlook as far as the Packers and what they're gonna do this season?
This game, I don't know. First weeks are so hard to predict because, like you said, who would have thought what happened last year when they were just awful against the Saints? I thought they learned from that, and I think they did. I just, you know, they didn't play anybody in preseason, but maybe they have a different approach. I think they win this game. I do. I wouldn't be shocked, and I wouldn't be crazy upset if they didn't, because it is the first week. I see them winning the division. You said they won't get 13. You're probably right, but I think they'll get at least 12.
Okay.
I think they'll win 12. I think that's what I picked, 12-5, and win the division. And, you know, I'm not going to pick – I did not pick them to go to the Super Bowl because I've picked them the last 2 years, and they didn't. So I'm like, all right, maybe if I don't pick them, they will. So I didn't pick them to go to Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're in the same bucket there. As far as this week's game goes, I think if they're going to win it, it's a road game, week one, all the weird stuff too. Like you said, I agree. If they're going to win, if the Packers are going to win this game this week, I think it's going to have to be kind of like walk-off style at the end. Like, I just, Minnesota's at home. Even though the Packers have a quarterback advantage, which is usually where I lean in that situation, I just, you know, it's the first week, so I'm not as confident. Although if they steal a win going into week two, I feel very good about the week two game. I can tell you right now, I already tell you how week two is going to end. I don't care how week one goes, you know, regardless of what happens. Week two, the Packers are going to the home crowd at Lambeau for the opener is going to leave happy for that particular game. But as far as this season, I said 11-6 for the final record. I said 11-6, win the division. I'm same thing. I don't have the Packers going to the Super Bowl. I don't know who they're going to face and what the matchup is going to be, but I think they'll win their home playoff game for being a division winner. They'll get that win, and then they'll have to go on the road at that point. And I don't know who they're going to face, but I don't think they'll get there, whether it's the divisional round or the conference championship game. Again, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yep.
And I just there's too many questions. As far as the special teams, can they be good enough to make this team to not be a liability? Because if that happens, then, you know, maybe they do get one or two more and they do end up with the 12 or 13 if they possibly can. But the way they blew some games last year, it just, you know, and you just at some point the I don't want to say regression to the mean, because Matt LaFleur is averaging 13 wins over three seasons. It's definitely warranted. But at some point, that's very successful. I mean, those are very good teams. That's a very good record, 13-4. And if you consider that your starting quarterback missed one of those games, it very easily could have been 14-3.
And they didn't care about the last one.
Yeah, that's true. And didn't care about the last one. Then maybe, but at some point you'd think things are going to kind of calm down a little bit. But like I said, that might also almost work in their favor if they're a little bit more focused and sharp, and they don't have this weird lack of confidence like Tonyan talked about on the Barstool interview a couple of weeks ago going into the end of the season, and they're fighting for their lives. I mean, it worked well the last time they won a championship. It was do or die on the road. You know, you were there for one of them in Philly. And that was a great game. And Mark, I'm going to ask you to, before we do, like, you know, what's coming up on Packer Report and sign off here, I have to ask you about one specific play. And I know that obviously you watch games differently when you're covering them. That open field tackle of DeSean Jackson by Dez Bishop.
Oh my God. Yes. No, that was, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a play that gets overlooked.
Oh, I didn't forget about it.
You know, I'm glad you, yeah. When Jackson caught it, and he's broken that tackle before, you know, that could have been that it's, you know, the Packers, there was enough time at that point that Rodgers would have had another chance as well. But that could have been disastrous. I mean, that was, everyone talks about the interception in the end zone, which was great, obviously, to end the game. But yeah, that shoestring tackle,
it's DeSean Jackson, and the Packers have gotten snake bitten by really good running backs and receivers like that before. And the fact that Dez Bishop had to step in and take over for Nick Barnett, who was the starter earlier that year, and he turned out to be such a big part of that team. And I had been pounding the drum for him to play more for the last at least season, if not two. And he finally got on the seat because I think he started playing well at the end of 2009. He still wasn't a starter in 10, but he had to step in. And when he did, they started making some really, really, really nice plays. Just a heady player, always in the right spot. Wasn't the fastest guy on earth. I mean, no one's as fast as DeSean Jackson.
Not then. I mean, but he was phew.
That yeah, was a was big, a that was a is, big, big, big
is
play.
Is he in the league? Packers yeah, he's a free sign him like yeah, this he's, week and then cut him like into week five or something.
Well, he's a free agent. He's 35 now. He's a free agent.
Yeah. He's old. I mean, he can still run though, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not as fast as he was, but he's still faster than most.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So he could probably help. Right. He could probably help somebody out at some point there. But so
maybe he doesn't want to play anymore. Maybe he just, you know, he's, like you said, he's 35. He played a long time. Maybe he could. I'm just curious. I don't think anybody signed him.
No, he's out there. He's a free agent. Hasn't signed with anybody yet. So, with week one coming up here, what is your weekly assignment going to be over at Packer Report? What's up now? What's upcoming? And what can we look forward to this season? What are you doing?
Well, what's up right now is my NFL predictions, division by division, and then MVP, rookie of the years, all that kind of stuff. Coming later today, will be some Packer opening day memories. Some of the best opening day performances by Packer teams and players through the years. And then when the season gets underway, I'll have my, after the game, I'll have my instant analysis. I'll get it up as soon as I can when the game's over. So that'll be up Sunday night.
Okay. Very good. And Quick Slants podcast will be up on Monday after the game. It'll be a nice recap. I've got Eric Thompson of the Daily Norseman coming on the show, regardless of what the outcome is going to be. He covers the Vikings, so we'll have a nice conversation and break down how everything turned out. And you and I will be back again for the Packers defense against the Bears offense. I have a feeling it's going to be a fun conversation next week.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Well, it's been another good one. Thanks everybody for riding along with us. I hope everyone enjoys the first week of the season. It's been a long enough off season. It's time for some Packers football. So enjoy the game that is. We'll be back again next Thursday. Everyone take care of yourself. And as always, go Pack, go.